Thanks to the folks at Racetech, racetech.com. Please tell them you listen to Pulp when you go to call there to order either springs, seals, any kind of suspension parts, or if you want to get your motor work or suspension work done, tell them you listen to Pulp. They'll give you a Pulp Show discount. Thank you to the folks at Racetech. They've been there since the 80s supporting privateers, supporting factory teams, and they're still doing it now. Racetech.com. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. This is the Unadilla wrap-up. I wasn't there this weekend. Had way more important things to do, like a Sammy Hagar concert, which was amazing. But JT and Weege were there, so we'll talk to them about Unadilla and what I saw from the couch as well. Fly Racing, flyracing.com, everybody. Dean Wilson and Max Ansi won races this year in Fly Racing. Chance Hymus, RJ Hampshire, Supercross champion, Fly Racing, flyracing.com. For more information, you look at Andrew Short, Wen Loretta's. Rock and Fly 2025 stuff is out now, so thank you to the folks at Fly Racing for coming on board this podcast. And get it your local dealer, get it at motorsport.com, and check out that Formula helmet if you want the latest and greatest in safety features. That Formula helmet's amazing, man. It's got some really, really cool tech in it. And thanks to the folks at Fly Racing for coming on board the podcast. Really appreciate it. And Renthal as well. You look at the Renthal, the mountain bike parks. You may not think of Renthal as being a mountain bike park company, but it's available in power sports dealers now around. You look at the stems and carbon bars, aluminum bars, chain rings as well, grips, of course, lock-on grips. Renthal.com for more information. Get your mountain bike suited up with the folks at Renthal. Never mind their award-winning handlebars and grips and chains and sprockets and things like that. So thank you to the folks at Renthal. Great company. Quality product, as you know. Check out the Renthal Reaction podcast we do every now and then, of course. And also, thank you to folks at Maxxis. Fast Freddie Norn with Maxxis Tires doing big things out there. Had a great day at Unadilla with his Maxxis Tires. Shane McElrath now running Maxxis as well. Maxxis.com for more information. Check them out. Great mountain bike tires, of course. And all of these tires, they've been using McGrath for 3 or 4 years now to revamp their motocross tire line, and he's doing a great job. So things are working really well. Thank you to the folks at Maxxis Tires, light truck tires, trailer tires, and more. Also, we'll tell you more about motorsport.com later on in the show, but great guys, OEM and aftermarket parts. All right, let's talk to JT and Weege, Saturday night special race review podcast. Away we go. All right, everybody, lots to get into when it comes to Unadilla. As I said off the top, I wasn't there, but the two gentlemen on the phone were there at Unadilla. Nice day of racing, and maybe one that we couldn't have predicted either. Here on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast, again, thank you to the folks at Renthal, Maxxis, Motorsport.com, and, of course, the Fly Racing guys. Super huge bummer day for Fly Racing's Chance Hymus, which we will get into. But first up, he called the action alongside James Stewart in the booth, the Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, Unadilla, just living up to Unadilla. You gotta love it, man. It is a character of its own right, and it lived up to its characteristics.
Yeah, it was absolutely nutty to see the videos and photos from yesterday and then see what happened today and showed up. Great job by the track crew on that, without a doubt.
Not a mutter,
Weege. Listen, you stopped. You're out of the game. You admitted you were tired out of that game. So,
no, we took some losses, but I'm like Chase Sexton, man. Beginning of the year was not great.
Yeah,
but we have stayed the course.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Also on the line from Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Jason Thomas, what's up, JT?
Not much, and I would like to go on the record and say I did not claim mutter. There was no point this week that I go on record as saying we were going to have a mud race. So I feel marked safe from a wrong prediction.
Yes, I did not. My angst was not toward you. It was not.
Tons of rain.
Misplaced.
Canceled press day. Tropical storm Debbie rolled through. They sealed
it. Oh, let's be real. It was raining like hell here, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah.
They
sealed terrible. It, right? That was sort of the key to this thing. They sealed it and let it go, and then sun came out. Yep.
Earlier than they thought, and it was super windy. I think those were the variables that really, really nailed it.
Yeah, looked really good. Looked like a. I mean, they were watering. They were watering the damn thing.
They were.
So. Yep.
I talked to Greg Robinson today about it with Davey, and they basically started working on this on Tuesday. Like they're like, oh my god, this is gonna be it's gonna be horrific, right? Mm-hmm. And so they did everything they could possibly do starting on Tuesday, and they were like really pessimistic. Like we're in big trouble here. And their hard work on the front end of it saved the track. Like I cannot believe how good it was this morning.
Yeah.
By the motos, okay. Like that's a lot of time. You think like 5 hours, you know, kind of to get there. But seriously, like in practice, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was incredible job by them.
Yeah, yeah, really, really great. It didn't look great, the videos and the photos that we saw out there. Unadilla, big weekend for our guy Phil Weege. Grand Marshal gets an award afterwards. I mean, it's everything. He gets a parade lap. Just whole weekend of Phil.
It was. And I have two funny stories for that. They did the podium at the end of the day. JT, you got to even interview him. But he was flipping off the fans, and the fans were flipping off him.
Okay.
My broadcast.
Double birds on the podium.
Oh, God. Also, Phil just teaching six-year-olds how to give the finger in photos on Friday. That was great. But anyway, my favorite part of that was that my guy James Stewart, he admitted, he's like, I don't really know Phil.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really know that the middle finger was like Phil's thing to that degree. So he was seriously wondering if people were angry. He's like, Phil's flipping off the fans. The fans are flipping off Phil. I'm like, we're good, dude. We're good. We're good. I swear we're good. And then JT, you actually, I didn't realize it has morphed to this. In your podium interview with Phil, it's like that has become an I love you sign from Phil.
Yeah. I needed to get to the bottom of this because there have to be people out there, maybe like James, that are just mortified at this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I just wanted, for one, like maybe rethink it, right? Just there's a lot of kids, but also explain that this is not really like what that symbol means to most people. It's not that, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a very tough thing to kind of wrap your head around to be on national television, just double birding everybody as like a love symbol. But here we are.
I don't like it. It's unprofessional. I've yelled at him for years about this. I think it's ridiculous. I think there's fans with little kids that are encouraging him.
I'm with you. You know how I am with this kind of stuff.
I'm
there too.
He doesn't care. And
no, he doesn't.
But but big weekend for Phil. And Weege, you're not going to believe this, Weege, but he didn't qualify well. And then he outperformed his qualifying.
He did. Yes, I said that's a tradition as old as time. But Phil did. He said he rode horrible.
He didn't ride well. No, he didn't have his good day. No.
He actually told after the race that he's like, those long ruts, he's like, I'm new to legs. I'm not Jet Lawrence, Chase Sexton. I can't stand up and ballet through those ruts. So he put it on himself there. But there is a win for Phil. There is a huge win for Phil. In the post-race press conference, I asked Sexton, who has been terrible with starts all year, right? And I'm like, did you fix something? Like, how did you fix the starts? And he's like, you guys aren't going to believe this, but it just goes back to Phil. And I'm like, come on, man.
Jeez, oh, no.
And he's like, we were on the gate at Millville. And I'm talking to him. I'm like, Phil, how do you get such good starts? And we start talking about clutches. And he gave me a direction that I needed to go in. And then I talked to the KTM guys. And we did what Phil told us to do.
I'm going to cut this out of the pod. I'm going to cut that whole part out of the pod.
This is like a works KTM and Phil's privateer Yamaha. Well, it somehow worked. I don't even get it.
Can we speak about his second moto start, though? I don't know what was going on at the gate. That was the longest gate hold and maybe I've seen in years.
Yes.
Were you dropping the gate like Loretta's?
Yeah. Well, Loretta's I dropped quick, I guess, from the word on the street. But Yeah, that was a long time, and then our guy Phil must have flinched a few times.
He said his clutch was starting to go. It was starting to go. He had to grab his front brake to try to stop it, and then he said his rear wheel is spinning against the front brake, and it was a disaster.
so that's the man who taught Sexton how to start. That's the man.
Wait, transfer of power, I think.
Oh yeah, there we go. Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah,
unbelievable.
And then the one gate drop that is held that long and screws a bunch of people up is the one Sexton pulls the whole shot on, first one all year. So. Go figure.
Yep. But Sexton wanted to point out first moto start was pretty good too. So props to you, Phil.
Yeah, props to Phil. Unbelievable. Grand Marshal, and he's going. He didn't ride well. He faded back first moto, which is unlike him. And second moto, he just started shitty and then sort of rode around. So, all right, lots to get into when it comes to this race for sure. I guess first up though. Go run and get those 2025 Hondas, JT. Go buy them right now because Hunter Lawrence broke the streak.
Hunter Lawrence can sell. He can sell, man.
Yep.
He is a multi-talented guy. But I don't think he's, faking it, right? Like, I didn't hear this with the 24 or the 23 or the 22. You know what I mean? So say what you want. I think he is very much believes what he's saying, you know? So – there's that. I think he truly loves that new bike.
Hey, he passed Sexton twice and won the moto.
Yep.
Here's the thing, though. I got my friend Chris Kiefer. Perhaps you guys are aware. He is not happy with this 2025 talk right now because, according to him, you guys know that they were riding those bikes with the front an extra plate welded on, right? Remember?
Yep.
So Chris is saying that this 2025 Honda is the same rake and trail and same geometry and everything, but now production is thick and braced like that plate was on. So Chris is saying there's nothing different about this frame. Like it's the same as his race bike that he had, not the production bike, the race bike, the mods they made on the production bike transferred to this 2025 in production. So Chris is very irate about this. However, Hunter Lawrence passed Chase Sexton twice and won the moto. So
I don't see Hunter as a guy who's going to get out of his way to make comments like that for no reason. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. I just don't think he would be doing this, saying that type of stuff. Like, I gave him every direction and he could have said, yeah, man, the bike's good. I just feel a lot better. He's leaning into the bike so much, right?
Yeah.
Like, to me, there's something going on there. The bike's better. You know, I'm not saying Keeper's wrong. I just don't see Hunter as that type of guy to be making stuff up.
You know what I'm saying, though? Well, you know what I'm saying about the frame, though, right?
Yes, I understand. Like, the changes that they took the race bike, put it on production.
Yeah.
So it should be the same.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know any of that.
No,
I haven't ridden it. I'm not in any parts of that. I just don't think Hunter is that type of person to play something up for nothing. He's one of the most grounded, analytical people I've ever met, right? So to think that now he's gone super sensational, to me, doesn't add up.
A little bit of
course. I also feel wouldn't have done it if he didn't feel – if he got on it and it's exactly the same, I don't see why they would even bother.
No, this was a stretch. From talking to Lars, I saw his mechanic here on Wednesday. This was a lot of work to make this happen. Otherwise, they could have just kept racing the platform they had. So I don't think it was, I don't know all the details. I'm not saying Keeper's wrong, but I think there's got to be something more to it.
Well, there's also the fragile little flower riders that just mentally, this was better. So mentally, he rode better. Just all of that. Either way.
One other question I would have. So Lars told me this morning, their number one concern was that Hunter's starts wouldn't be exactly the same. Like, you wouldn't. And the first moto was. Second moto, there was a reason. They held the gate, whatever. So what would be different that they would be concerned that the starts would change? If everything's identical, then they shouldn't have anything to worry about.
Mm.
Leads me to think there's something else there that's different other than just the bracket.
Airbox is different, for example, on this bike, right? I don't know, there's some changes. Yeah. But Steve, maybe do they not have the button that Lars presses dialed in yet?
I mean, look at that gate hold. Obviously Lars and the button and everything else didn't work.
Well, I think Lars pressed it at the wrong time in the second moto because they held it so long.
Yeah. It flinched and Lars hit the button. I don't know. Right. But also, you're lucky. You guys are very lucky that I dove into this with Lars on the text chain.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Because we weren't this at all.
No.
Like, nothing.
No.
You are the savior
I dug deep,
of all of our information.
I dug deep into this switch.
Right.
And because, honestly, it's remember Cowie did this with RV and Weimer.
Yeah,
and it was a big deal, and it was tough to do, and the team did it, and I was a little more inside on that because I was hanging out more with those guys. But I imagine, like Lars had mentioned, like this is a big thing to retrofit everything, and to make everything and homologate it and do everything is not easy. So
you're involving a lot of different like departments at your company to go through homologation and all sorts of stuff, right? That's why I don't think it was as basic as what Keeper's saying. I didn't even know about the airbox, right? So that alone could be something. I don't know. There's got to be more.
Well, listen, the new bike, the mental edge it gives you, the 2 weeks off, all of it. He rode great and won the moto. So whatever percent you want to give it all, add it all up. But it was a different guy for sure.
Yeah, I think we now know that Redbud crash took probably as much out of him as we probably thought it was at first.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously he's not in the moment going to say that, but I think it's pretty obvious that he was probably not the same at Millville and Washougal and the second moto at Redbud, and the time off helped too.
The wall really helped him, huh, JT? The wall, big lines on the wall.
yeah.
No, he was killing him on the wall. You pointed it out, but he was killing him on the wall.
Yeah. I mean, he had that line dialed, and mm-hmm. Sexton kept trying every line in the world. I don't know why he just, it's crazy to me. I guess, it's easy sitting on the couch or standing in the tower watching it. But like for Sexton, he had to know how much time he was losing there. So I don't know if he's just like, I don't want to follow him up the hill and get roosted, or maybe I'm just not getting this line dialed, but I'm going to get it next lap. I don't know, man, but he was losing tons and tons of time there.
What about that endo? Oh my God. Oh boy. Sexton, that could have been big.
You think it, like, I mean, I know it was close. Like, I bet if you asked him, he'd be like, it's fine.
Yeah, you think? Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. There are so many close calls on that track so many times. That track is, like, notorious for close calls.
So, let's...
Like, if you should hear James, and I know this feeling, because I really like going there now, because I don't ride it, but I hated racing there. I mean, hated racing there. And you hear James, like, he'll throw in the subtle, like,
mm-hmm.
he is not a fan.
Oh, wow.
Because of how sketchy it is. And that's just the way that track races, man. There is no way to race around that track without having lots and lots of close calls. I don't think it's possible.
I mean, Ricky showed up with a Dilla. I mean.
Yeah.
James.
Yeah, I mean,
James came out to race to get into Motocross the Nations talk and then didn't come out of his motorhome. The second moto. Yep. So
yep. It's not a favorite track of many people.
No,
that's
no.
for sure.
All right, Sexton, I did like James's comment on the broadcast, Weege, where he said people probably thought their TV froze because it's like 6 seconds. Like Chase was gone. Gone. Just see you later, everybody. So
it's weird to have a day that was somehow both great, positive for both Hunter and Chase. Like for Hunter, you're like, I got the new bike, I'm rested up, I can battle this guy again. But also Sexton could be like, well, if I can just get starts like this, this is what I could really do. That was really impressive, that first couple laps.
Yeah, the re-raceables, who really won this race, right? It would be tough. It'd be tough.
Yeah, they both can leave here with their heads held high.
Yeah, it was a great race by both those guys for sure. And yeah, Sexton was checked out Moto 2. So great ride for both of those guys. I want to go to Ferrandis, fourth overall, because he lost it with half a lap to go when Hunter, more than half a lap, three quarters of a lap to go. And you, Weege, you made the point on the broadcast, like, he's back. We were talking about him because, yeah, he's been Mr. Invisible. He's good at Unadilla. Yeah. We know that. But I really wanted him to hang on. You know what? Like, screw you, Hunter. I really wanted Ferrandis to get that third overall. I was bummed.
Yeah, they're still riding together during the week, so I asked Hunter about that. He's like, I didn't know that I cost him a podium, and he joked that I should give him half the bonus that he cost me. But I'm hoping, yeah, you always want more guys up there. I'm hoping it's not just a Unadilla thing. Like, it was kind of last year. It actually was.
Yeah.
So we don't really know much about what's going on over there, like what they've been struggling with. He alluded to being a lot. I didn't know that was still going. I know that was a deal in Supercross. Maybe it's not over. I mean, I think, honestly, I think a lot of people gave up, not his team or him, but I think a lot of people had even written off considering Ferrandis as a contender anymore. Maybe not.
No, I think this is a Unadilla-only thing. We will be right back to where we were at Bud's.
He'll be Mr. Sixth-ish.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, did he mention changing anything or finding anything, or did he, you know, like...
Well, not particularly.
Right.
I think you're right. I agree. I hate to say that. Like, I don't like, you know, being here, but I think you're probably right.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this was just a great race for him. And that's why I wanted to get the podium, because I don't see a podium at the next two. And it would have been really cool for Phoenix and Dylan to get on the box and everything else. So,
yeah.
AP rode really good in the second moto. I don't know if he crashed or if it was just a gate hold or what. Did you guys find out? Did he mention anything about second moto? Because he was 20th, 25th, something like that, first time across the timing loop. And he came all the way to fourth. Great ride by AP.
Yeah, I think it was the gate hold, right? The gate hold, JT, that just got a bad start.
Yeah. I think it caught off guard. I think it caught lots of people out.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people that were in the back that shouldn't be in the back. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just he was really excited with how he rode, though.
Like, yeah. He should be. Yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, I didn't watch him enough in that moto. I just didn't. I watched, I was watching the back runner trying to move through the pack and all that stuff. I did not watch him moving through, but just from his comments, he must have rode really well because he doesn't really pump himself up unless it's worthwhile.
No.
So, yeah, must have had a good day.
He was great. Second moto. He was so far back. So, and then, of course, he got the whole shot in moto one. I don't know if he led a lap or not. He led a little bit, and then Hunter got him. But so good day for AP to get third overall. Dylan fourth, like we talked about. Anderson fifth. Good second moto for Anderson, but ultimately 5-5 on the day for him. So that's just for that. Justin Cooper, like AP, was further back in the second moto, gate hold or crash, I'm not sure. James pointed out his radiator shroud was bent. This is home track. He rode really well, too. Like, he was marching up just like AP through the field and got a seventh, so 4-7 on the day. First moto, rode well, rode steady, got that fourth. So the battle continues for AP and him. 5 points AP put on him in the overall points. So Ken Roczen, seventh. Welcome back, Ken Roczen. Second moto, that was so Kenny. That was such a Roczen move. Didn't work out in the end. He looked like he got passed by three guys within like a lap. But it was cool to see Roczen back, Weege. It was great.
Steve, you're one of the only people on earth that will know this reference. Do you remember Ben Johnson, the Canadian sprinter?
Oh, yeah. How can I forget?
I mean, but he was a national hero for about 3 days, right?
No, even before that, because he got gold in Rome in the World Championships the year before. So,
long story short, in the 100 meter dash in the Olympics, back in his heyday of being a massive event, he was unbelievable out of the blocks, like the greatest starter ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wins the Olympic gold, and then later on they found out he took steroids and they stripped him of it.
Ben says the American drugged his drink.
Oh, Ben has a reason.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
cool.
So, what's interesting about Ben Johnson is he came back. He was in the next Olympics without steroids or stuff in his drink, and he still was unbelievable out of the blocks, but he wasn't as good at the end. And it reminds me of Roczen, because whether Roczen's really good, hurt, sick, coming off the couch, at his peak, in his prime, whatever, you will always get those first two laps of fury.
Yeah.
He cannot help himself no matter what condition he's in.
Yeah, he didn't get a great start in Moto 1, so you didn't see much of him. But, yeah, Moto 2 was – I tweeted, like, as he was getting zipped by, and then I think it was Hunter just chest roosted the shit out of him. And I'm like, Kenny's probably like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. Great. Way to come back. But it was cool. I mean, he was really couching his appearance, wasn't he? It seemed like in interviews.
Well, two reasons. He said, look, it can't compare.
No. And we lost Weege.
Yep.
Yep. And we can't compare. Probably coming back last year to High Point. Oh, coming back to High Point, right? Can't compare it to this one?
Yeah, because he wasn't hurt
right
last year.
Yeah.
And second, I think when he saw that rain, he's like, I'm coming off a leg injury. This is going to suck. And then obviously it turned out fine, but he didn't know that coming in that it wasn't going to be a mud race.
Yeah. No, it's good to see him back. 7-6. I mean, JT, we did our fantasy pod. We thought a little better, you know, in our minds. Like, thinking,
I did.
You know,
I'll be fair. I did think he would be better. Cooper Webb, other than the crash, was about where I thought he'd be.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. That track is not one I associate him doing well on.
Yeah.
But, man, I don't know if anybody talked to him, but I hope he's okay.
No, I did. He said he did the exact same thing he did at Birmingham, and he's just basically hoping that he didn't do the exact same injury.
No. Oh, damn. Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's just hoping. I think he's just trying to be optimistic. That's all he's got right now.
Yeah.
Jeez, hope for the best. Terrible news.
Yeah.
Do you guys think Roczen does 7-6 on the 250? That's kind of where I think he finishes on the 250 in a couple weeks. 7-6. Sounds about right.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you think that, like, those guys are as good as the 450 guys? I don't know that I am there.
Bike, riding style.
Maybe the bike is some, but, like, to me, if you're telling me that the best 450 guys are not as are the same level as the best 250 guys, I don't think that's true. So, I don't know. We'll see.
What do you think? What do you think, Weege?
Yeah, it's like this amazing sliding scale. You should assume the 450 riders are better, right? They're 8 years further into their professional careers. But Ken hasn't raced the 250 in 11 years. So is it like which he's going to be a little worse himself, but the competition probably won't be quite as good. So where does that land you?
I think it lands you a 7-6.
Oh, okay. Oh. But like the same as he was here.
I just think, we'll see. But just the mentality of the 250 class, the balls out, the bike not being great. Bike's good, not great. And then the fact that Kenny's probably not 100% on his
– I think he'll be a lot better in 2 weeks, though.
Okay.
I do.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Christian Craig, great start in second moto. Then he looked like he got caught up in the what the hell is happening here as people weren't buying. But 9-8 on the day for Christian Craig. I like the look of those Huskies, JT. I like that.
That was great. Yeah, yes. I wanted to jump in at some point today, and I couldn't get in where just the timing didn't work. But I'm just like, I had a retro Husky too from 2001, and we did not look anywhere near that cool.
No. it reminded me of Danny Laporte days, Weege. Danny Laporte Husky. Blue and white JT gear. A lot of blue.
Danny Laporte in the early 80s?
85. When he rode Husky.
I don't know if I've seen color photos of Daniel Laporte.
There's color photos. There is.
I don't even know if I've seen anything in color.
Okay. Reminded me of Daniel Laporte a little bit. Because Craig's gear looked really good too. They did a good job on that. So 9-8 for him. Malcolm Stewart, 10-9. Yeah, I mean, that's all we needed was a Dylan Ferrandis in here, and this would have been right around normal. For those guys. But Grant Harlan.
Go ahead.
Grant Harlan, 11-10. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good day for Harlan. I saw him at dinner last night, but that was really solid. Back before we get too far away from the Roczen thing, who went 7-6 in 250 class today?
I will tell you. It was
like everybody had a good moto, bad moto.
Pierce Brown, 7-7.
So you think that Ken Roczen and Pierce Brown are the same?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, I will take the other side of that in every scenario.
Well,
personally,
Kenny's more talented. He's
a better rider.
A better rider, but
that's what I mean.
I sense a nice bet coming, JT. A nice bet here, it's just different. Look at Joey Savacek.
It is different.
It's just different.
But I don't like when I say, do I think I asked you if you think they're the same, and you said yes.
They're going to finish about the same, yes.
But they're not. I don't think they're the same. That was not what I
asked. They're not the same. They are not the same, but they can finish the same.
Okay.
Grant Harlan, 11-10. Yeah, JT, I got a text from Harlan. He ate dinner with you, and you just sat by yourself with the AirPods in and never communicated.
Well, he was with his girlfriend. I don't know. Like, I don't really know Grant very well.
You don't know? So, okay.
All right. I don't. I've probably spoken to him 3 times in my life.
Wouldn't that have been a great opportunity for you to pull an AirPod out and be like, how you doing? How's it going?
No. I wasn't sitting next to him, Steve.
Okay.
I was 4 people away at a bar.
Well, could have been a great chance for you to get some info.
Well, next time there are lots of like fans at the races that all want your time, or maybe at a mountain bike trail, you should take the time to get to know them.
It's not the same.
Okay.
11-10 for Harlan. Good job. And his bike broke at Sekimoto Washougal when he was in the top 10 also, or right around there. And if that stupid bike hadn't broken, which cost me fantasy points, Hardog might be really coming onto his own here. So, I love how you guys are pumping up the SMX points too. And they passed a retired Adam Cien Cirillo, a mystery named Justin Hill, a 18 broken bones in his arms Benny Bloss. And you guys are like, oh, yeah, we're getting in there.
Man, it's the SMX playoff.
We're getting in there, man. Way to pass these guys. Way to go.
Catch the fever. Hold on.
Adam Cien Cirillo, folks, we got him.
Yeah, but who? Can you tell me who was 20th and 21st coming into the day?
Well, Adam and I think Benny was, weren't they?
No, it was actually a tie between Harlan and Welton, who are teammates,
tied
for the final spot and both racing. So how is that not something?
They're both in it. They're both passing the retired injured riders and Justin Hill, who we don't know what's up with Justin Hill.
I don't know why Justin Hill didn't race Washougal. That is true.
I don't know either. I don't know. Yeah. Nobody knows. Yeah. They're probably getting a new wrap done on their truck.
Oh, because that's what they're working on. That's their focus.
I think so, finally
a new rap. I did not think it was just Benny and Adam. I really thought it was like 6 active guys going for five spots.
The list that they passed were everybody that wasn't there and not coming back anytime soon. It was Dean Wilson. It was Dino, not there, in Brazil. It was Justin
Hill.
But
Dean is racing more.
He's coming back.
Do we know that for sure? Is he coming?
Talking about it?
Okay,
so,
all right.
Sure, he is.
Well, Dean missed his gate pick at Washougal, so I don't know if I like Dean's odds.
Yeah, it's true. It's a pretty loose program.
Anyways, so yeah, I just had
Dean
to
counts.
Laugh.
Dean counts.
Dean
as the
counts.
Guy who's trying.
Okay, Dean counts, and then after that, it's the Pope who's 30 back. So
are you still mad about the Charlotte press box? Like, is this where this is all coming from?
Just have to laugh. You guys are working so hard at this. Good job. Way to go.
If Dean ends up 21st and he actually showed up for races, tried to ride red but hurt, missed his gate, like, that counts. That counts as, like, he friggin' wanted it, he friggin' tried, and he didn't get it. That counts.
He obviously didn't want it that bad. He's in Brazil. I mean, if he really wanted it that bad, he'd find a way. His bike is on some truck somewhere, and he could have showed up.
Why did he race red bud? Why didn't he go to Red Bud?
Well, he's trying to get an SMX, but if it meant that...
That's what I'm saying!
But he's in Brazil!
It's a real battle!
He's in Brazil!
His goal is to make it. If he doesn't make it, that means a guy who tried didn't make it.
But he's in Brazil! How important can it be?
I'm assuming he's getting paid to go to Brazil?
Well, of course. I'm just saying, though.
Okay.
There's a lot of money in SMX, too. There's a lot of money if these guys get in, as we know. So...
Listen, man, we're here to promote SMX and sell 2025 Hondas.
Great. Okay, fair enough. Good job for Grant Harlan, and that's great. And like you said, he is battling Welton. Welton DNF second moto. Do you guys know why?
I saw him ride off on the bike. Okay. I don't know. Right. He didn't look hurt. I'm confused. Yeah. I saw him ride off.
As long as he's not hurt, that's good.
I hope not. He rode off.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to text him right now. Okay, Freddie Noren. I was texting Freddie's team manager. Are you guys aware of him? A big wrestling guy?
I would say Mr. Jericho?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
Because at one point, his new rider, McElrath, passed Freddie in Moto 1. And I said, there's a new king in town. And then Shane got a little tired looking at lap times, it seems. And then Jericho said, do not underestimate the tough Swede. Because the Swede rebounded for 12-11 scores. So.
That's cool. Yep.
Welton's okay. He just had a big one, he said. And a front flat. So maybe he had...
How about McElrath being... Oh, front flat. Yeah, so he's done at that point. He's only A-Ray. Only A-Ray will...
Riding with a front flat is like a... You have to have a serious death wish.
Well, A-Ray, baby.
A-Ray, man.
On the gate. On the gate with a flat tire.
Unbelievable. Like, I don't even think I would ride my backpack to the semi.
Yeah, if my mountain bike gets a front flat, I'm pushing. If it has a rear flat, I'm riding. Yep. Like
now he's lining up on the gate.
Harry Koulis was back. Harry rides in Brazil. Why wasn't Harry in Brazil? Because he probably wants SMX money. So
Harry Spinney's race is in a Rainacross series. Is that what Dean's doing, or is Dean doing a motor series?
No, I watched.
Dean's racing like it looks like Supercross.
Yes,
but I'm sure it's a Rainacross.
Oh, I watched some YouTube.
So that must be the same.
I watched YouTube today of Dean. And the guy he was going a 1v1 race blew his coolant hose and there was smoke everywhere. And Dean beat him.
Okay,
so Koulis, way back in first moto. Don't know if he crashed or bad start, but way back. Came to 15-12 for Hottie. Good job, Hottie. 12th overall. Phil, 13th. We talked enough about Phil. He did outperform his qualifying, though.
Mm-hmm. Weech, did you know that depending on which country you live in, there are different pronunciations of Harry. Did we talk about this?
I think we have. Yes.
Okay.
Is it Finnish Harry or is it Estonian?
Yeah, each side of his family pronounces
it. Oh my gosh.
How the hell are we supposed to get it right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he told us at the PIR, if you're from Finland, it's this. If you're from Estonia, it's this. In America, it's Harry. So I'm choosing to go with the...
Say, we just go Koulis.
I am choosing to honor his Finnish heritage when I say Hadi.
Oh, yeah, okay, just because?
Yes, cool. Yeah. All right, Phil, 13th. McElrath, 14th. You were going to say something, Weech?
Yeah, the McElrath thing. I told him he broke a record. I've never seen a rider put out a social media post that said, it was not mutual. It was not mutual. I've been fired.
That's a great point.
Props to you, man. Props to you. So I talked to him about leaving or why he's off of that Twisted Tea team. And then I did talk to Dustin Pyatt. I got to say, their stories did match up from the standpoint of basically he wasn't getting great results. He didn't even score points or he scored 1 point at Washougal. So they basically were like, you know what, man? It's just not working outdoors. You're already in SMX. Just come back for SMX. And Shane didn't want to do that. He didn't want to sit out these three outdoors for whatever reason. So they just moved on completely. I know Shane, I don't think, was happy with the bike. I don't think they think the bike was as bad as he does.
Yep.
But it really, the final thing was him. They're like, we don't want you to race the rest of these outdoors. You're not even scoring points sometimes. And he said, nope, I'm racing.
Yeah, I mean, look, it cost the team $2,000 or $3,000 a weekend, you know, and to bring them there. And
To prep a bike and all that.
All of that stuff. And they're probably like, we could, dude, you're not, because he's had some good races, but a lot of these races aren't what Shane's capable of. And so I don't blame him, I guess. And we knew he was going to Mad Parts anyways, but it is a little unfair because it does look like Colt Nichols got hired and they fired Shane, you know, but it's not quite the case.
No, they were planning on having both. And Shane said even when Colt started riding the bike to test it, he had no problems with that. It was more, I guess the Washougal result was so bad, I think they were just like, this is just not. Yeah. Just race SMX and Supercross, dude. It's not working outdoors.
Cooper Webb, like we said, eighth in Moto One, and then he said on the gate he wondered why he came back to this one too. But we hope his thumb is all right. 8:35 for him.
Yeah. 19. Eli Tomac is back next weekend, and I think Tomac might have taken the right move. Wait till Buds.
Yeah, I wonder what that was. I wonder if that was what that was for too.
But Eli sort of ratted way later than Webb also, though, to be fair.
Yes, I'm actually kind of surprised, Eli. When I saw how recent it was that he started riding, I was kind of wondering about the Buds thing, but I talked to Coker, he said still plan.
I don't think it's going to go really well. That's my opinion. Based on that timeline. But the whole thing with this is, and I think it was true for Webb today, unfortunately, that it went really poorly, second moto. But the whole thing, you have to have realistic expectations. If you come in and Tomac comes in and goes on the front end and said, yeah, I'm not ready, but I need to get race laps in. I need to get some time in so I can be the best shot at it when we get to Charlotte. Then I think all bets are off, right? And I don't know that he'll do that. I don't know that there, but that's what I would do. It's like, yeah, I haven't been riding enough to be 100% ready. So don't expect me to come in here and win or podium or any of that. I'm just trying to get some time under my belt here. And then everybody cheers, right? Like, cool, man, go for it. Like, let's have some fun. But what I hope doesn't happen, if all his fans, which there are legions of them, we all know that, they think that he's coming in ready to rip, right? I don't think that's going to happen. So expectation and perspective is everything in most situations. And I would just temper those expectations for Tomac next weekend. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well,
maybe he's on fire. I don't believe so, though.
This is what people are saying, that Team USA wants to see Tomac come back. And I'm like, okay, but like, he's not coming back to beat anywhere near Sexton and Hunter and that level. And what are you waiting for? He hasn't raced outdoors for 2 years. And yeah, like, I don't think he's in the running. And I'm hearing Team USA is like, we need to see him. And I'm like, okay, but I don't know if this is going to go that well.
I would wait until at least, well, I don't know. I don't know how much time they have.
They got to do it before Ironman. They got
to
do it before Ironman.
To your point, yes, I don't think they're going to get some huge reinforcing ride out of Bud's Creek.
No. A couple of Tomac notes too. I believe he's doing all of the World Supercross races, and I believe there will be a 2025 announcement as well next week about coming back. So stay tuned for that. Yeah. Okay. Nichols 17th, 23. I mean, if you're Dustin Pipes and you were hoping, let's give Colt time, first outdoors in a while. But if you were hoping to get some improvement over Shane McElrath, 23-14 is a very Shane McElrath score. But it's only one race.
Yeah, I guess.
It's only one race.
I think they've got to figure, like, this is just the beginning, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Chiz said in a group text that he realizes that getting a gate pick in qualifying the same age as your score, or same age as your age, sorry, same as your age, isn't going to work out. So that really doomed him on the day.
Yep. Starting on the outside at Unadilla is not going to work.
No.
It's just not.
Except in 96, JT. I told this story before.
Yeah, but I'm talking, like, there's an exception to every rule, but just as an overall concept.
Okay.
There are tracks where this is not one.
You don't ever listen to me, so I know you forgot this story. But
no, I know this story.
1996.
Sean Kalos.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. All right.
I know the story.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that was with the dip, though. The dip in the start.
I listen to you.
And
you
Kalos,
think, no, but I do.
Kalos was right. There was less of a dip on the outside, so you could pin it.
Yep.
Okay. But they got rid of the dip, so now you're screwed.
They did.
Okay. Henry Jacoby, Germany's own, 17:40. I don't think he started the second moto. Do we know?
He did.
Oh, he did. Okay.
He did not finish the first lap, though.
Okay. All right. Okay. 17th, not bad. Yep. For Jacoby. He wasn't 100% coming in. So. And, 450 class. Anything else? What do we got? We got Jerry came back. Derek Kelly was up there early and then dropped back. I don't know. Anything else 450-wise?
No, I don't think so.
What about the title? You guys like Sexton?
Yeah. Yeah, feel good about it.
Weege?
28 points, 4 motos, yeah. 4 overalls in a row. Looking good.
All right. That's 450 class from Unadilla. And, again, thank you to folks at Fly Racing. FlyRacing.com for more information. 2025 stuff is out. Love the red, white, and blue Evo kit. Looks really nice. And Dina was wearing some of it. In Brazil.
You will be donning this at Fox Hill.
I mean, I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, but I hope so.
Like, on my end?
Yeah, like, you weren't 100% sure.
It's 100% sure.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I already shipped your pants to you.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all.
Okay, because you were like, you said, I think I can make it happen, but.
Yeah, I just don't like to promise things before right. I know they can happen, but it's happening.
I will be debuting at Weegee UK in Foxhill a couple weeks.
Wait, what colors?
Red, white, and blue, baby.
Really?
Yeah.
Not red and white.
No. Listen, I'm not on Team Canada. That's my other three partners. I just got to look good. And I'm going to look good in red, white, and blue. And I've paired it with the pair of the Tech 10, red, white, and blue Tech 10s that came out for Red Bud. So, yeah, Captain America.
Did we talk about High Mrs. Crash, or did I miss that?
Yeah, normally we talk about 250 riders during the 250 portion.
No, I don't remember talking about how bad the crash was, but it's late, so I could have just missed it entirely.
Okay, thank you to the folks at Fly Racing, of course. Motorsport.com, go through the banner on pulpamex.com to help us out. OEM and aftermarket parts, if you want to get Fly or Maxxis or Renthal, it's all on there. And dedicated team of gearheads there. And they will also have free shipping over $79 with the folks at motorsport.com. And Weege, Onyx Maps as well.
Yeah, Onyx Maps will tell you where to ride or where to drive, whether you're a dirt bike guy or a mountain bike guy or a hiker. They have a hunting version of the app as well. If you got a side-by-side or a Jeep or a truck, just go to onxmaps.com or OnX Offroad in the App Store. We'll give you 20% off if you want to subscribe. Just RacerX, all one word, all lowercase. Or you can take it for 7 days for free just to see how much better it is than using Google Maps. Find places to ride and drive that you didn't even know about. And also RacerX itself, we put the magazine together. It's different than what you see on the website, but you can read everything on the website if you're a subscriber to the mag. Then we let you access it all. And we're also giving away Ethica underwear, which is just way more popular than I ever imagined a pair of underwear could be. People really want it. Subscribe now. Get a free pair.
And if you don't win the one pair that they're giving away.
Stop.
Did we get the Taser winner yet?
Oh, I did ask for that. I don't think they gave it.
Okay.
We'll push it another. I did this last two Mondays ago before at Loretta's.
All right.
Basically, whatever life is divided between before and after Loretta's. Anything that happens before it, it's a race.
And it's good that we have JT on here to verify people that we tried to do a Loretta Lynn's wrap-up pod. I was there for the first time in 26 years. JT went for a day. Weege was there for every day, and we tried. And JT, Weege is, basically was on vacation and shut us down.
He did. There were two like legitimate official attempts. Two official ones.
And nothing.
Both of them were met with nothing.
Yeah, I was out of favors on the home front that week.
So we
there's no talking on the phone about motors for an hour after that week.
We really wanted to get in the bottom of Loretta's. Lots to talk about with Scary Guy and the announcers. And Weege was not going to let us happen. So.
Yeah, permission was not granted after that.
Okay.
I'm basically married 51 weeks of the year, and the other one is very sketchy.
All right. So no Loretta's wrap up. Also, Weege, I got to call BS. You're lying to the viewers. I tweeted this out, and then another guy also followed it up right away. You said on the broadcast that at some of the Supercross races, you listen to the XM simulcast, and there's no way you're paying for satellite radio. No way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll have to send you a photo.
Of what?
I took a photo of the dash in my Honda Ridgeline to the channel. Because similar to Loretta's, like the four Supercrosses I didn't go to, I took my wife out to dinner each of those Saturdays, and the heat races were starting before I get home, and I'm like, oh, wait, I can listen. And I even took a picture and sent it to the bosses and said, hey, this works good. So I'll send you the photo.
So you pay for satellite radio?
Well, again, this is because the kids like it, and this is where I am in life.
Okay. All right, well.
I don't get all the votes. That's the problem around here.
Right.
I would have loved to have done Loretta's pod. I would love to not pay for satellite radio. I don't have all the votes.
Can we just, before we get into 250s, did Scary Guy get revenge, or was there a discussion at all about Scary Guy's anger?
Yeah, so now people are, this is, so there's a guy from the New England area, from Rhode Island. In the area there, they call him Scary Guy. Shane Kelleher, he's really fast, really good. I think the week started off with him. What happened? Did he catch and pass?
He's not in the greatest shape, and he hunted down Chris Kiefer, passed him, and dropped him in the first plus 40 moto.
Yes. Well, don't feel bad, because he was later in the week doing the same thing to this guy, this other vet rider named Jeff Emig. Have you heard of him?
Yep. Yep.
He was doing the same to Emig. Then he had some big crashes, still came back and won the last moto, not against Emig, against the other group, that one. He did pass Emig the next time around, but the shoulder from the crash gave out. But he was not happy with, honestly, I think it was Wes Kane specifically, and some of the comments from the announcers. We make a lot of comments at Loretta's in the announcer's tower. Luckily, the locals, my buddies from New England, had tipped me off. Don't do it with Scary Guy. Don't do it. So I'll make fun of Barry Karsten all day, as you know. John Gurry, as you know. Mm-hmm. Frenchie, Greg Paymart. A lot of fun we've had with Mike Treadwell through the years. Matt Tedder through the years. Ted Tedder, sorry, Steve. But I was not making jokes at Scary Guy's expense, and might have been the best decision I've ever made.
Did Scary Guy get revenge, or did they settle on this?
Well, he called Wes Kane out. Well, he called the announcers out on the podium at the end of the week. And I was barely able to hold the microphone shaking at that point.
You were Homer in the bushes, basically.
I was. And I just said, I'm like, hey, man, we'll take the heat. But I knew the comments he was talking about, I think, were Wes Kane comments. And
okay,
those two will have to take it up amongst themselves. I'm out.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
The guy rides unbelievable. A keeper will tell you firsthand.
Yeah. 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 No, for sure.
Yep.
All right.
He doesn't train and doesn't ride the bicycles and all that stuff. So, yeah, maybe he's not in the best shape, but whatever, dude. Late in the motos, it didn't matter. It kind of reminds me of JoJo back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Okay. 2VD class. Let's start with Jimenez because JT's waiting. 2 seconds, almost 2 seconds quicker in qualifying. JT, you kept talking about his foot, it's his ankle. By the way, he corrected you, and then you stepped going on his foot. Foot, ankle, same thing, I guess. But
when did he correct me?
When you said, what about your foot? He said, the ankle's fine.
I mean, it's the same damn thing,
okay,
man.
All right. All right. Anyways, yeah, and then, dude, you want, like, I don't know, 4 passes in about 2 laps in Moto 1 and a 6-second lead and just, the like, going off the dominance of qualifying and then absolutely ate it. But huge bummer for Honda, for Chance, for everybody, JT, because he was on it, dude.
Yeah, whatever was bothering him, foot, ankle, that you're so worried about, didn't seem to be bothering him.
No.
Those the first half of the race. That was incredible.
He was like, get out of the way.
Qualifying, too.
Yeah.
Qualifying, too. Like, he was, like, 213, everybody else was 215. Like, that was insane. So, I don't know. I mean, he'd never been there before. So, I don't know what to make of any of that. That was really, really great until it was not good at all.
Actually, I was just looking. I thought it took him a lap to get the lead, but oh no, he passed those three guys in less than the first lap. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, gone. See you later. That was impressive, Weege. Poor Chance.
Well, JT, I think you and James made the joke that because he had not raced Unadilla before, he didn't have any bad memories yet. And my gosh, did that come around.
He's got him now. Yeah,
he's got him now. Unadilla will get you at some point.
I like
how you also catch JT. Did you catch in the interview there when he was fast qualifier? He said his goal was he was cooking. That was his goal.
Oh, I caught
that.
There was some premeditation before we went live there. I'll just leave it at that. But
he is cooking. Yeah.
That was definitely not unintentional.
Do you have a comment about Hayden's Snapchat? JT?
I don't know what he's mad at me for. I mean, if he is mad that I think that the take that Jimenez took him out at Millville on purpose is silly, maybe. I mean, I guess he's mad at that. I am not backing away from that.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to post ridiculous pictures of me on your Snapchat because of that, so be it.
And then, of course, he did the Jimenez's cook thing at the bar, and then that's where that Jimenez thing came up today. So,
like, if he asked me that question, you really think he didn't do it on purpose? I would be like, I promise you on everything that I consider holy that he did not do that
but
on purpose.
You know what would happen in our industry, and this is unfortunate, is they would turn around and be like, well, you work for Fly. And it's
I'd be like, I didn't care less.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Care.
You're right.
Like, it could have been of Jeff Emig. It could have been Greg Albertine. I don't care who you want to say. That is a ridiculous take by Deegan. Like, he is a fantastic rider. I love his work ethic. That's just a bad take.
Yeah.
It's just a bad take.
But they will run around and they will say, well, he works for Fly. Yeah, so, you know,
just,
that's how it goes.
And, yeah. Like, and that's okay.
Yeah.
They're just wrong.
Yeah.
That would just be wrong.
Look, I tend to always, when it comes to Zach Bell or any of these other numerous incidents, I'm not at the side of the track leaning over and looking at the rider as a medic, but color me shocked they let him get back into that race. He looked out of it. The bike hit his helmet. You could see that. The rear tire hit his head, caught up to him. And then, like, you know, two laps later, just they pat him on the butt and go. Like, he looked like he was out of it. Again, just I was on TV. I was in Las Vegas, so I'm not on the side of the track. But holy crap, that was kind of took me back a little bit. Like, okay, we're not gonna look at this guy at all. We're not gonna do anything. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, first of all, when it's kind of a sign. I don't have any more information during the show than anybody else does. You know, we're waiting to try to get info. You know, but I can tell you, there's kind of a natural cadence that scares me when we're not showing the replay quickly or showing the rider quickly, and then I'm just kind of holding my breath like everybody else. What are we going to see next? I mean, you just see a guy laying on the ground, not moving. You know, there's a lot of different things that you're really genuinely worried about. So when I saw him up, I was just stoked.
Right.
That I'm like, okay, he can move. Now, what always throws off these concussion things, what really blurs the lines is guys not themselves a lot. And that's basically the same. They don't move. And then you really got the blurred line of like, did they knock the wind out of themselves and hit their head and do other things, or did they just need 3 minutes to get their wind back and then they hop up and they're okay?
Yeah.
But I know, I agree. That crash was
there.
I cannot believe when I saw him back in the bike, and not, and I mean, and I can't believe the doctors let him. I just thought he's hurt for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
something's broken. A bone is broken here. It has to be.
The rear wheel hit him in the head. And, but hey, again, I'm not there, but I was shocked. But JT does have a Fly Racing Formula helmet on. So there is that.
Yeah, he does, but I'm going to stay away from anything. I don't know, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, listen.
It looked terribly bad.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not a doctor, and I wasn't standing there. So, what are you going to do?
Bummer. Huge bummer for Hymus.
Yes,
for sure.
That could have been such a huge day. Like, if he went out and kept going, I mean, what that does for his confidence and things like that, young in his career, that's
and,
who knows where it goes.
And I was deep, deep, deep at the ranch talking to a person deep, deep, deep in the Hymus camp, and lots of Team USA buzz. AMA and Hymus's have been talking, and Honda and everything else. So they're looking. Because
oh, really?
Hayden said he may not go, and Kawasaki doesn't support the race. So naturally, when you go on down the line, like, Hymus's candidate. So, I don't know if this hurts or helps or anything else, but bummer deal. Levi Kitchen, 2-1 on the day. Couldn't do it at Washougal, the track he lives on, basically. But Unadilla, come on down, Levi Kitchen.
Yeah, he'd have a great run going if it wasn't for having a darn race at Washougal.
Yeah, yeah, really, right?
Two of the last three, just terrible at his own home race.
Yep. Rode great.
Yeah.
Rode really great. Two hole shots. Great job. So.
Yeah, and second moto, it sounded like Deegan noticed all these dudes on the side of the track and said, you know what? We're good.
First moto was such a Deegan ride, right?
Oh, yeah.
20 minutes just starts cooking. Rode great.
Cooking.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Cooking?
Sorry. That's the chef. Chef's cooks. Deegan.
I thought Hymus was cooked and Hymus was cooking.
Oh,
and Deegan was cooking?
Well, wait, and then the chef cooks?
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
A lot of cooks in the kitchen.
A lot of cooks.
A lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Okay, well, Deegs was shredding. I'll go shredding. 20 minutes in. Rode great. And then, like you said, kind of just chilling back in third. Behind Shimoda, but if Shimoda had gotten Kitchen, you know, that's the overall for Deegan. So I'm sure he was cheering on Joe at that point. And Joe went down. And did we get a status on that?
I think it might be a collarbone.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Right, Casey Cochran also looked bad, arm, wrist, something.
Yeah, that I don't know.
Okay.
Yep. Looked like arm and wrist, though.
So 47 points each for Deegan, and so he's going to clinch at Bud's, right? How many is he up? He's got to be up a lot.
70.
Yeah, 73.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah.
73, yeah.
I don't know the number. It's 70-ish.
Yeah, so he's good. He's going to clinch at Bud's.
It's 72, 73.
Yep. Interesting. Hymus has led more laps than Hayden. 90 laps led to 82. Didn't have that on the bingo card.
No, it's both shocking, but also not when you see how Deegan goes about winning a lot of these motos. So,
yeah.
But yeah, just the fact going into the season, where was Hymus on the depth chart, right?
Next year, you're going to have Deegan defending it. Hymus has got to be thinking title. Kitchen's got to be thinking title. It's going to be great. Should be a really good season next year outdoors. And then RJ.
If Hymus gets on Team USA, we need to do a list here on RacerX Online, Steve, of the guys who you would have never thought would have been on Team USA when the season begins. There's a lot of them. Mike Kudrowski, 89, has got to be all
Thomas
time.
Covington?
Oh.
Billy Lyles?
Yeah, that entire team that year. Billy, maybe not Zacko.
Billy Lyles?
Yeah. Like, think of where Chance Hymus was. Could you imagine if there was a betting pool going into Fox Raceway round one over, like, odds that Chance Hymus will be on the Motocross Nations team?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was going to say during Supercross, but never mind that. Just before Paula. Just never even mind Supercross. Just before Paula.
Yeah.
You would have
went. Because of Supercross.
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying you would have went, well, RJ's going to be there, and then Hayden's going to be there, and yeah, on and on.
On and on. Yeah.
Jalik Swole, good job. 6-4, but third overall. Good job, Jalik Swole. Triumph.
Owed one. To get 6-4 for a podium seemed like crazy that it happened. But look, man, they've had a bunch of stupid stuff go against them. So sometimes the luck runs your way. And I kind of feel like it's justice because he's ridden well a lot.
This week,
Joey just like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, look, Joey is got way more hype and way more talked about than Jalik Swole. And if Joey was a few points back, you could go, it doesn't mean Jalik's better, even though he's ahead in points. But at this point, with, you know, all these rounds in, Jalik is way outperforming Joey. It's just,
I mean, we were talking about a championship for Joey at one point.
Yeah.
Weege was also talking about a championship for Master Bowl.
We'll get to that. So good job, Jalik, and Triumph, third overall. Marchbanks, we were talking about him this week on the Moto 60 show, and I was like, yeah, I think 5-10. And I didn't think 5-5 for fourth, though. Good job, Marchbanks. He rode really well.
Yeah. That was impressive.
That was great. Good job for Marchbanks, for sure. He might have earned himself a spot on the Pulp MX show on Monday with that ride. Max Anstey, third in the first moto. Eighth in the second. All right.
I think it's all good, though. I think, like, especially when you look at, again, just more struggles for everybody else on that team. Like, I think this is why they brought him on. Like, it's getting a couple moto podiums. It's probably going to keep getting better. This is a move to bring him on early for them when they already had 9 riders.
A 7-7 day for Pierce Brown is such a Pierce Brown day. I know he got 5th overall at Washougal, which was great, but 7-7 for Pierce Brown? Yep. Qualified.
Ken Roczen day.
Yeah.
Ken Roczen day.
Yep. Jordan Smith, 12-6. Masterpool, 9-9. Qualified 2nd. Was 2nd early in both motos, and he fell in the first lap of both motos while he was 2nd. His 9-9 day, Weege, could have easily been a win. I just want to tell you that.
I'm aware. I mean, this is where our potential is, and this is why we are title contenders next year.
His first moto, he was way back and got to 9th, and he actually got up to 6th. I think he fell on the last lap. I think he was all the way to 6th, fell on the last lap, and got 9th. He was really riding well, like AP in Moto 2 of the 450s. Masterpool was really riding well in that first moto. So, but yeah, Weege, 9-9 is not going to do it for you. So,
he's a great rider. You guys want to mock me and doubt me? He's a great talent. He's a great rider. A lot of upside.
2-year deal. Re-sign with those guys, Supercross and Motocross. Pretty cool.
I did not know this.
Yeah.
2 years.
2 years.
He's got an agent these days, and they help people.
Oh, I was told to ask you about his agent's Mertz. I was told to ask you about this conversation with you, Mertz, and Lewis in the morning.
Oh, yeah, it's great. So we had a good long hour discussion of all things under the sun, solving all the world's problems. What about this? What about that? How can we do this better? How can we get help out? Like, all this stuff. Like, we're going deep.
Yeah.
We're talking sewer. I mean, any topic you want. And we really were put back into what really matters when, at the very end, a fan comes up and says, hey, guys, can you help me? And we're like, yes. She's like, Deegan, where is Deegan's truck? And we were like, you know what? Nothing else matters, man.
Yeah. Listen, lady, it's straight there. You can't miss it. Watch for all
that's
the
kids.
That's
what we said. We're like, around the corner, Star Racing, that's where Deegan is. And we're just like, what else are we even, why are we bothering with all these other topics?
Yep. It all boils down to that.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's incredible how many fans they bring to the races. I mean, a lot of people say they're going to grow the sport. The Deegans have resulted in new people coming to the races.
I hope so. Does that mean more money for the media?
I mean, yeah, maybe we'll be NBA level soon.
More,
and you'll be Stephen A. money for you.
More lucrative deals for the media, like Crest and Verizon, things like that.
I mean, again, you could be making Stephen A. money, which is a lot of money if you haven't noticed.
Yeah,
a lot of money.
But yeah, Mertz got him a 2-year deal, JT. That's a really
That's
cool story.
Awesome. I did not know that.
That is a really cool story. Like, dude, he just picked the kid up. But okay.
Can we talk about what Supercross is going to be? Like, realistic expectations?
5 to 10.
Okay.
No?
I don't know. He has missed more main events than he's qualified
yeah,
for.
But, dude, that's not on a PC bike in California for the whole year and all of that.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just asking the question.
Okay.
I didn't say he can't do it.
No, yeah, he's 5 to 10, I think, Weege, and then we will go for the title outdoors.
Oh, we will go for the title. But I have a different question. All right, so Marchbanks is there next year. McAdoo long-term, what, 2-year deal? Hanniger 2-year deal? Masterpool 2-year deal?
Kitchen.
I mean, Fortner maybe, right?
Yeah.
Drew Adams coming out of amateurs, supposed to be full-time next year, starting at round one of motocross. Like, what are they doing?
I don't know, man, but they've had a lot of injuries, so I think they're just banking on that.
Is that, you know what? Maybe that'll work. It'll just pencil out that, like, we'll never end up having more than 4 healthy riders anyway.
If you add Adams, there's no way they come to Paula with 7 guys under their tent.
It just won't happen, right?
No. It just can't.
Well, I mean, look, I don't want to be mean here, but it's Forkner, McAdoo, and Hamaker who have missed a lot of races.
Oh yeah,
I'm just giving stats.
Yeah,
they missed a lot of races
for sure.
So is a team now overcompensating, saying let's sign 7 so we end up with 4 at any random point in the year? We'll always have a decent amount of guys.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. By the way, talking about Masterpool, like, and going back to Ferrandis almost getting a podium, like, Masterpool was on HBI Kawasaki last year and was better than Dylan Ferrandis. Now, the field was less deep, more injuries
what
last
do you mean?
Year.
It was better than Dylan Ferrandis?
Don't you think Ty Masterpool last year was, like, more impressive than Dylan this year?
Oh, this year. I'm like, Ferrandis got second.
No, I meant Dylan Privateer this year, 450, Ty Privateer last year, and... Like, without looking at the results off the top of my head, Ty seemed like he had a better year than Dylan Ferrandis.
I think Ty had more of these, like, breakout rides. He didn't have the invisibleness, but he probably wasn't averaging 6th every moto like Ferrandis probably is. That'd be my guess.
Well, I'm going to pull this up right now.
Yeah. I would say Ferrandis might actually score more points because he's just getting 6th every moto, but he wasn't ever in, like, running up front like Masterpool was. That's what I would say.
He missed 4 motos and got 7th overall. But again, field not as deep.
Yeah. I think his upside was higher last year than Ferrandis's been this year.
Okay, hold on. Masterpool. 7-7, 5-4, 5-7, 6. So right away, that's better than Dylan. 40, 5, 210-866-89887. So that the last 6-7 motos were exactly what Dylan's doing now. But before the season, before that halfway point, Ty was probably doing better than Dylan.
I think it's pretty close.
Yeah.
I think it's close, but he had several races where like, man, he could maybe podium today. And until Unadilla, we were not saying that about Ferrandis.
No.
And this is why I'm like, oh, Masterpool on a pro circuit bike could be really good because he, to me, look at the guys he was battling in the 450 class last year were really good guys.
Bo Mayer, 9th overall. Ryder D, 10th. Vial, JT, I don't know.
What do you mean?
Come on.
What?
I crash first moto.
Yeah. Crashes happen. What do you mean?
I'm so let down.
Moto is fine.
I'm so let down by Tom Vial. Yeah, but he also wasn't even close to the top three guys. Like Shimoda, before Shimoda fall, the top three were
gone. All expectation. I don't know. I didn't think he was going to come out and dominate outdoors.
I thought he'd be better.
Yeah, he's been good at times. It's been the little mistakes that have cost him. Like, he's been really good most of the time.
So Shimoda 434. I'm going to text Lars right now. Go ahead, Weege. Talk about
that didn't look good. Like I'm going to say that's an injury that he's out for a while.
My friend Lars.
I already talked to who you're texting, and he was kind of confirming without confirming.
Oh, okay. All right,
I think we're going to find out it's a collarbone. Let me put it that way.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you didn't make it sound. You were like, I look like a collarbone, but you didn't.
It's not a place to break news, Steve. That's the thing.
Absolutely, it is.
No, it's not. Not when it's not officially told to him.
If if the person we're talking about tells Weege it looks like a collarbone, Weege would be like, it's a collarbone.
If he's trying to tell him without telling him,
Weege didn't do a good enough job of making sure that, you know, we knew it was a collarbone.
Well, I did. I pretty much gave you the info without giving away the info, which was the goal here. I had no choice but to sell out this guy at Honda.
Well, now it went right over my head then, I guess, when you said that. So,
I know. And you're going to hit him up and get the same info that I've already.
No, I'm not going to hit him up.
Yeah.
I already hit him up about the 2025 and how it was a good move. Okay.
It was funny. I was actually in the tent at press day and Lars is standing there and he's like, hey, I'm about to put some information on the text thread that you are on. And I'm like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then I think that was you asking him questions. Then I had to walk outside the tent, and it was just hellacious rain. And I'm like, I'm not even going to touch my phone because I do not want to get it wet. And then I missed all of it. And then I was the least informed person, even though I was standing next to the guy who was texting you the info.
It's amazing.
All right.
Yeah. I this was all – JT, you were there. I'm like, wait, what? And you're like, how do you not know this?
I thought you were faking it.
No, I was like, I am not taking my phone out of my pocket for the rest of the day because it was raining so hard.
We just still getting us back to us about the Loretta's wrap up if that's going to happen. Okay.
Off season, we'll do a Loretta's wrap up in October.
Okay. Nick Romano, home track, 13-14. Never saw him all day. Daxon Bennett was up there in Moto 2. I don't know what happened. Moto 1? Moto 1 or Moto 2? And then.
It was 2.
Moto 1.
There we go.
Okay, yeah. Anyways, I don't know if he crashed or what.
Maybe it was 2.
Yeah, slip back. Not great. Lux Turner, 15th. Casey Cochran, we think, is out. Savachi just qualified 3rd overall, everybody. Scored PulpMex Fantasy 90 points last week. So it was my week to pick him, and that's what I get. I get a 40-12.
Oh.
Ugh.
Oh, jeez.
He is so up and down, Joey. It's crazy. And then, like JT said, you know, he gets 40th gate pick for Moto 2. Yeah, good luck. Hope it goes well.
Yep.
May God be with you. So,
you know what I love about Joey, though? True to himself. This is the guy who won the Minneapolis Supercross to the East Opener 1 year and then was, like, super bummed on his performance.
Yeah.
Still wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
He has a million excuses of the thing. Could have a million excuses. But if you ask him about his season, he 100% puts all of it on himself every time. So,
yeah.
First moto, his fault for getting a bad start. That's what led to the problem. And earlier in the year, he was saying, I was like, yeah, starts haven't been good. He's like, Deegan. Starts aren't an excuse. Look at Deegan.
Yeah.
It's like, always will put it on himself. Like, no excuses.
Yeah.
To an unbelievable fault. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I tweeted something like, oh, I can't believe this Joe Dog. Unbelievable. And a guy writes back like, look at his whole career. And I write back, yeah, look at it. Look at the vault. He's won 10 races in Nationals. He's won 15 Supercrosses. Yeah, look. What do you mean? Look at his vault. Yes, I just did.
He's really friggin' good.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Cody Shock came back. So they lost Marchbanks, but they did get Shock. He was 10th in the moto early and then dropped back. I don't know if he got tired or what. First race back, though. So, yeah. You know, not too bad to run 10th or 16, 18 on the day. And Schwartz, something happened to Schwartz second moto. Talon Hawkins. Anything else 250-wise? Mark Finnis had a bad day for the club guys. Don't know what happened there.
Oh, man, I talked to Dylan Schwartz. I did not realize how bad his wrist was dating back to Supercross. And he actually had to get another surgery after High Point. And then he got an infection in the surgery after Washougal. So he had to get another surgery after Washougal.
Jeez.
Basically ridden maybe 5 times this year besides the race. And then he's like, oh, great. Now Marchbanks is back. I just got into the top 20. Now Marchbanks is back. Then he has a bad day. So just when it rains, it pours sometimes.
Yeah, this is the stuff that fans and maybe media don't know behind the scenes, right? Like all this crazy shit these guys got to go through.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, we as a rule, we try not to speculate on injuries. But I did a little bit with Shimoda because I don't like it looked odd. Like it's crazy that Hymus can crash like that and then show up for the next moto. And then Shimoda takes a hard fall, but not anything massive, and is laying there not moving. But we've all seen enough collarbones and shoulder injuries to know it doesn't take much. It just, you got to settle in at the right angle. And I just don't want anyone to be watching that being like, oh, come on, Shimoda, really?
Well, he had a sling. You're hurt? Yeah, they put him in a sling, so that tells you right away.
Well, once the sling comes out, yes. But I don't want people to think like he kind of hit the ground a little hard and just couldn't get up. Like, we know when you land on your side, the chances that you hurt that shoulder are pretty good. And I just want people to know how tough these dudes are. Like, they're not getting up because something's wrong.
Shout out to, speaking of Joe, I don't know if it was during that segment, but you guys were talking about the GPS with the lights coming on automatically. It's nice to see that we may see some improvements from the 1970s style that we still employ at these races. So nice to see some technology maybe come into the races. But on a side note, James had me laughing when he said, yeah, those lights came on for me a few times. Those lights would have came on for me.
Yeah.
that was a good one. I was down a few times, he said, or something. So,
yeah, bike was down on the track a few times.
Yeah, I did like that. That was really funny. And shout out Dweeds to your guy from Uganda, who is kind of doing better. Just missed a point this week.
It's pretty impressive, I think. Like.
Yeah, 22nd in the second moto. But, like, I believe he was not very good to start the year, and now he's getting better. So.
Stav Orland.
Yep.
And if you meet him, dude, he's like 6'4 or something.
Uganda's own.
It's huge.
Is he riding his nations? Do they have two other guys?
Well, that's interesting because he rode the nations last year for Israel. So I don't know what goes on, man.
Okay.
I don't know. Ask Harry Kulas how this works. How any of this works.
Howdy.
Yeah.
Evan Ferry crashed out in Moto 2, but he's going to be okay. I checked in with his father, a multi-race winner. So,
You know him?
I know him, yes.
Okay.
So.
Once won a first moto at Unadilla, and then something wrong mechanically in the second moto. That's all I know.
Not my year, sir. That was 02, and my rider did have a problem mechanical wise, but not Tim Ferry. That was Nick Way.
Okay.
So I did have a mechanical in 02.
You did have mechanical. Okay.
Just not with Tim Ferry. So Nick sucked dirt through his filter. It was real fine silt, right, at Unadilla. Sucked dirt through his filter. His bike seized. I walk over to the gravity cavity. He's sitting in the stands with the fans. He climbed the fence and sat in the stands. I get over there.
Hey,
he's in the stands, sitting down.
He probably is like, with this mechanic that I have, I would need to. Well, let me make an exit plan.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Jeez.
All right.
What was the year with Timmy where the front brake broke? That wasn't you?
01.
That wasn't you?
No, it was not me.
Okay.
And it was 01. They were using a caliper made out of beryllium metal.
Yeah.
Super lightweight, super cool, and it broke. The hanger broke on it.
Okay.
So, not me.
Yep.
I believe he won the first moto. Yeah, he won the first moto, right?
He was freaking on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's good at Unadilla. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Anything else? Unadilla? JT's asleep already, so.
No, I'm good.
Okay, all right.
Are you going to Bud's Creek, Steve?
I'm going to Bud's Creek, yep.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, yeah?
Yeah.
That's where we're at?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not going to Ironman.
I have to represent my country.
That doesn't change the fact of what I said.
I'll be at what?
Oh, not Ironman, wow.
Not going to Ironman, no, I have to go to the UK.
Okay.
I'm like Dean Wilson. I'm getting start money in the UK.
Charlotte? But you'll be back for SMX. Dean Wilson.
I'll be back for SMX, yeah, because some people want me there. So.
Well, one other thing is going to happen. I think you're talking about another item, which we'll talk about some other time. Mm-hmm. But in typical Steve Mathis fashion, you were not happy with the press box at Charlotte. I do not have any insider knowledge of this, but I've seen this movie before. JT, what are the chances that all Steve's complaining? The red carpet will be rolled out.
He'll be hanging out with the president of the speed, the drag.
Yep. Frank. You and Bruton Smith, Marcus Smith, the whole Smith.
My guy Frank. No.
Part of the French family. If your last name is France, are you a member of the French family?
Oh, good point. Yeah, good point.
It's funny you gentlemen say that because. All of us in the media have been informed that the press box will be changed for Charlotte. It's official.
All right. I hope they put your name on the door.
So I will, it'll be changed. It'll be better. And, so I have to be at the SMX races to, spice it up a little bit. Spice these things up. Can't wait.
Are you going
to
call it a gimmick?
Maybe. I mean, we have single, double, and triple points. I mean, it's kind of gimmicky, is it not?
It's not. It is not.
Okay. All right. I'd like to see your definition of a gimmick.
It would not be SMX.
By the way, before we'll get closer into this, but Saturday night after Vegas SMX, there is a Phil Nicoletti open to the public retirement party at the Huddle Brewery. You can buy tickets. Phil will be there. I'll be there. Weege will probably show up at the Huddle Brewery after Vegas Saturday night. So go on my Instagram or the Huddle Instagram, HUDL, to buy tickets for that, to come see Phil and see him off at his final race. He'll probably be grouchy as ever. And then Friday night, there's a live show off the strip, Pulp MX live show. And I don't know if you two will be there or not. Myself and Daniel Blair will be there. And so buy tickets on pulpmx.com Friday night. So we got Friday night live show, Saturday SMX. Saturday night is Phil's retirement party, and then a few other things going on Sunday, Monday. So buckle up for Vegas SMX. Your liver may not survive.
We are so back to having a race in Vegas. Wow.
It's making its return with a vengeance. So
let me ask you this, though. As a Vegas native, do you consider that Vegas? I know it's called Las Vegas Motor Speedway. How Vegas-y is it?
Oh, yeah. It's Vegas. Sure, why not?
Like, I mean, Sam Boyd wasn't on the strip either, so that?
Yeah, exactly. JT, did you ever do the World Mini?
I never did World Mini, no.
Oh, okay.
Sure,
yeah, because that's where this track is, where the World Mini used to be for decades.
Yeah. Wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's at Speedway.
Same track.
Wait, it's right next to it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
When I moved to Vegas, the World Mini was open for like 2 months. I rode it once, and then it closed down.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, we're at the drag strip, right, in Vegas? We are not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little ways away. But it's in the same parking lot. But these stadiums are huge, as we know, these races.
Yeah, yeah. So this is no more not Vegas than Sam Boyd, which, again, is 20 minutes from the strip or whatever.
Yes, okay. This is Vegas as Vegas-y could be. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know, because I was afraid. I was just waiting to be attacked by you, being like, "Oh, you SMX guys, it's not even Vegas." Okay.
I mean, would I rather be in Allegiant? Yes. Yes, I would rather be in Allegiant, 100%.
Yes, I think Feld people would love to have a Supercross in Allegiant as well. But These days, it's not as easy as just calling them and saying, hey, can we hold a race?
The greatness of the Raiders plus Supercross would be quite a combination.
Oh, I have a gimmick for you.
What?
Flex Seal. The guy where he slaps the seal on the week.
Yeah.
And it just seals it, and then he builds a boat.
Why is that a gimmick? That's work. That's not a gimmick. That's works.
That's a gimmick.
He's sailing in a boat. I mean, it's not a gimmick. It works.
Glass boat that he put together with Flex Seal.
Are you saying it wasn't true?
No.
Oh, wow. Flex Seal guy's going to be mad.
He should be.
He might sue
him.
You should contact your lawyers, because you might be getting a letter here soon.
Fine. You go ahead with your SMX take, and I'll deal with the Flex Seal guy.
Okay. That's it. That's the wrap-up for Unadilla and Buds Creek this weekend. Great track. 03, who can forget? Great day. All right.
JT's best finish ever, right, JT?
05.
There was.
05?
Yeah.
06.
06.
Yeah.
Fifth overall.
Sure was.
Oh, what a day. Shout out to whoever, the Robinson family, for getting those results for Phil Nicoletti from 03. Can you imagine if you were one of those other guys in the top 10? You made the broadcast. You're probably stoked.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow. What happened there?
Mr. Roboto.
Flex Seal guy got him.
It's a gimmick.
Yeah, that's a gimmick. Your phone's a gimmick, Weege. All right. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. That's been the podcast. Thanks, JT. Thanks, Weege.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.